And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
I say Zoom line, but on your end, you're using a telephone, but I'm using Zoom to call your telephone, so it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, I was struck by the idea, Pastor Vance, of how much violence we see in society nowadays. People are quite unhinged. They've become not polite many times, very vulgar, and we've seen a lot of violence. Of course, on top of our mind, one of the occurrences was the political assassination of Charlie Kirk, but there's much more than that. And it makes me ponder, and I'd like you to help us think through this. What is life without God versus life as a child of God?
You're correct in your observations. We used to say there was a coarsening of society.
Mm.
I would say today that there's a lack of general civility and breakdown, and that's somewhat of a worse situation than just coarsening. And of course, we have that even by in the Christian community. We often hear language, at least I didn't hear when I was growing up, and so forth. It's just a general coarsening of life.
Mm.
But there is a chapter, well, there are many chapters in the Bible. I think Romans 1, maybe I'll mention something about that, but a psalm that has always stuck in my mind, and it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God."
Mm.
That's not the kind of atheism that most people think. It's when most people think of atheism, not believing in God, it's theoretical. You know, God is not there. There is no God.
Yes.
in atheism. But this is not that. It's practical atheism. Believing that God is there, but you live as if God is not. And we do find that in our society. Of course, we find atheism in the theoretical sense, but we find much more of it in the practical sense, even sometimes within our own Christian communities that profess to trust in Christ and to follow him. But in everyday life, we find a kind of practical atheism, a forgetfulness of God.
Yes.
And in the general society, that, I think, counts for a lot of the separation from God. And to be separate from God is really to be turned upon our own devices. And you're talking about the aggression and hostility that we find in our society, and violence even. And I think it's in part due to that. That's not the only reason, but that in part is due to that.
Yeah, yeah. I think going along with a lack of love for God, and here I'm talking about the triune God of the Scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a lack of love for him also opens us up to deception by other voices, basically satanic deception. Something has to fill the void, and other standards, other voices, other things fill that void, it seems.
Well, Augustine and Saint Augustine, who lived in the 4th century, had a wonderful saying, it's quoted a lot. And he's actually praying that God would fill his heart.
Hmm.
He says, "Let my heart find no rest until it finds its rest in thee." And that was a plea for God to fill his heart with his presence. Yes, you're right. When there is no, the heart is not filled with what God made it to be filled with, and that's him and his love, then people turn to other things. You can see that in Romans. I mentioned Romans earlier, but when when people have their hearts filled with anything but God and his love in Jesus Christ, you're not really living at or being what God intended you to be.
Mm.
And it creates a void in your heart.
Indeed.
And that void will be filled. It's like nature. You know, there's an old saying, and living here on the farm, I know it to be true. nature hates a void. The weeds
yes.
grow and everything grows.
Yes.
And so other things grow in your heart and life when you don't have the love of Christ in your heart and life.
Yeah, that's right. Well, today we're having a little fireside chat with our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. He also is a board member here at Redeemer Broadcasting, and he was my pastor for many years. I think I started going to your church there in Rock Tavern around the year 2000 or thereabouts, and were there until you retired. How do you like retirement so far, Pastor Vance?
Well, it's fine with me. Every stage of life has been fine with me. I've been blessed with the nature that can find contentment in most any situation I'm in.
Yeah.
So I do like, though, to be in the harness, as my dad used to say,
yes.
preaching the gospel and teaching and so forth. I do miss it.
Yes.
But I get an opportunity once in a while. But I fill it with other things, reading, writing, keeping the roads open. I'm a little concerned about the prospects for winter coming in. I hear we're going to have a bad early winter.
Oh, boy.
So I'm a little concerned about that.
Yeah. Before we
open that, I'm fine.
Before we opened the mic, you were talking about the need to get some firewood in. You were explaining to me what you do with a trailer and putting sides on it and hauling it with your car up the hill. And so you stay very active indeed, and I'm glad you do, because I think it keeps you healthy.
Well, I've got four or five cords of wood to get in, and I bust it up by hand, so I got to get to work, and I've got a month.
That's beautiful. today we're talking about the fact of in what we feel right now in society, there is a lot of violence. There's a lot of unhinged people and name-calling and just yuckiness on the streets. And I think you do too, Pastor Vance, it stems from a lack of conversion, a lack of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you keep going?
Well, I thought, you know, if my mind has worked in these avenues for some time due to the fact that I pastored 40 years and I did a lot of reflection on society. I do think we've changed into a more radical mode in this country. That's why we have violence. There's a lot of radicalism.
Yeah.
But I do believe it's a spiritual problem, no question about it. You mentioned about when we have a hole in our heart when it's not filled with Christ, and it can be filled with other things. And
yeah.
And Augustine says that we've been made for God. And the scriptures certainly indicate that. There are two manifestations of this that I think that I could comment on. One is when people do turn away from God, they turn to other things.
Yeah.
I think it was C.K. Chesterton, or G.K., maybe I get the initials wrong, who said that when people cease to believe in God, they don't cease to believe because they begin to believe in almost anything and everything.
Yes.
And you find superstition, you find all kinds of false gods and so forth. But there is a kind of atheism at work in our society, particularly among our elites. We're being led oftentimes in many of our cultural patterns and so forth, much away from what God would have.
Yeah.
And so I think that accounts for some of the delusion, too.
Mm.
When people turn away from God, they do turn to delusions. In fact, the scripture says in one place, what is it, 1st or 2nd Timothy, that God sends delusion.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. So that's one problem. The other problem is I'm going to use a word maybe that most people haven't heard. It's called misotheism. Misotheism is a word that I learned about 3 years ago reading a book. I didn't really know the word. I knew what it meant in Greek, but it means hatred for God. There are people who actually believe in God, but they hate God. God doesn't conform to what their understanding is, or he doesn't behave, quote, toward them the way they want. And
yes,
they develop a hatred, and this kind of hatred can turn into a violence. As a matter of fact, you sent me about 15 minutes beforehand. I knew I was going to be on the program at your invitation, which I'm very thankful for, to be able to speak to the people. But here's a passage of scripture that I thought of immediately when I got the text from you. For although they knew God, it says Romans 1:21, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish ways were darkened. Now, were darkened, not only because you turn away from God, but I also, in passages like that, you kind of see an action on God's part to let them have their darkness. Although they claimed to be wise, the scripture says, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Not only do people turn to idolatry, the biggest idolater is the one who has become their own God.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, in part, that I see. We really don't outgrow the scriptures.
That's an interesting thing that you shared with us about the misotheism. I had never heard of that. And so that's the idea of, you believe in God, but you really hate who he is. You don't accept who he is. And that's kind of odd, isn't it? Here he is. He's created you.
We want God on our terms. Not
yeah,
on
we do. We we do. Oh, dear. I mentioned before we opened the mic how that I had been reading a small portion of a book. It was for the Covenant Home, a reading that we do each night. And we were up to the section on John Calvin. And you right away said people don't really understand John Calvin, and I'm convinced that you're right. And there was an aspect of John Calvin that may surprise people, that besides his writing all about the nature of God and, you know, our need for him, he also lived out his faith in the city of Geneva. And you could say there was a good deal of social activism. And he, according to this book, it says he emphasized how that God calls his elect for his own purposes. To Calvin, the consequence of faith is strenuous effort to build God's kingdom on earth. And that's kind of interesting. And another couple of quotes, it said that he encouraged the development of representative governments and stress the right to resist the tyranny of unbelievers. Resistance to totalitarianism and absolutism, the arbitrary abuse of power by leaders, was a key factor in the development of modern, limited, and constitutional governments. And the church has the obligation, this author wrote, under Almighty God, to guide the secular authorities on spiritual and ethical matters. And it's kind of interesting how that the faith of this one man, and he had a brilliant mind, just absolutely brilliant, kind of spilled out into society, and that was seen as a good thing. So anyway, that was what it was.
An interesting passage you read. It's filled with so many. I didn't know you were going to were reading that.
Oh, I sprung it on you. Yeah,
I've studied Calvin a good bit. I have a terminal degree in what is called historical theology.
Yeah,
and I made it a point to do so, to study four people that I knew were had left their mark on the church. If I had studied more on the fifth one, I'll name them. Augustine, and you hear me quote him a good bit, Thomas Aquinas, by the way, who did not differ from Calvin one bit when it came to election. Martin Luther, John Calvin, and, of course, Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah.
But I spent my time when I was studying back as a much younger man, those things. And I studied each one pretty carefully because of how much they have contributed to what Christianity is here to this day.
Yeah.
Well, you open up a lot of things here, also how the relationship between the political and the religious relate. You write up a society where Christians may be in a minority. What should they do? So there's a lot to say about that that we couldn't possibly get into here. But let me say this. Christianity in Geneva is different somewhat from us in that they carry over from the Middle Ages what is called the Corpus Christianum. In other words, the whole society was basically a professing Christian society.
Yes.
So, but they still divided the society between the temporal realm and the eternal realm, and the church represents the eternal realm, and it's to instruct and to guide the state in matters of civility and morals and teaching about who God is in Christ.
Right.
So it's a very full passage you just read there with many things. But the point about Calvin is that he was a tireless worker. And the prayer that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, he knew that only God could bring in the kingdom.
Yeah.
He also knew that we were to do kingdom work while we're here on earth, and it would make for a much more salutary life and blessed life if we would be sensitive to the will of God. And we've lost that. You know, everything I've said up to this point, how many people have even ever been exposed to that type of thing?
No, right.
And when we think about that and how far we are from that, what I would call a practical ideal, we lose so much in our society. No wonder we have incivility. No wonder we have violence. We are very far removed from listening to the voice of the church. I mean the true church, the church that is based upon the scripture and the great teachers down through the centuries, but the Holy Scriptures mainly. Because the scripture is given to make us wise unto salvation and to correct us, reprove us, and do all these things. And I'm all for teaching at least the scriptures in schools as English literature, and even more. But if we can get that far, that's a good thing. It's a source just like Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And why wouldn't he use the Bible? What book has affected the West any more than this Holy Scriptures?
Oh, that's so true.
Part of the problem is the departure from God's revelation in Christ through Holy Scripture.
Yeah, it's true. Well, today we're talking with Pastor John Vance, a personal friend of mine and someone I look to for wisdom and encouragement. And I'm very blessed to have your friendship, Pastor Vance. Earlier, we mentioned how that you're retired, but it could be misunderstood. You stay very busy, as it turns out, and I mentioned that you're going to be getting some wood, and it turns out it's no small amount of wood. You're talking about 4 to 5 cords of wood. That's
a lot.
That's huge. A cord is what? 4 by 4 by 8?
4 by 4 by 8.
Ah,
yes.
That's a lot of wood. If it's stacked together, that represents much, much work. Do you have? I'm jumping off subject here, but do you have a splitter? Some kind of a splitter that you use?
No.
Wow.
No, it's all hand.
That means that you're keeping your muscles very active.
Well, I have cut some wood that I've got in a pile.
Yeah.
Already, you know, through the year, so I'll get up some of them. But then I'll have to bust up at least a cord and a half this year, or two. But no, I've got wood already just to be picked up.
Yeah.
But you know, the scripture says something interesting, and I think it keeps us out of trouble.
Yeah.
Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it.
Yes, and he wants us really focused.
Occupied.
Yeah, and working hard at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
For an old guy.
Well, anyway, right. So I'm struck by this moment in my life, in the life of America as I perceive it. We do see a lot of violence. Then again, if I wasn't paying attention to the news feeds, I probably wouldn't see too much because it's fairly peaceful where we live. We don't see these things, but we do see them on the news.
I'm as isolated, if not more so, than you are, and that's true. I live a very peaceful life, but I know a lot of people don't. My daughters live in very populated areas, and New Orleans one, and Florida the other one, and a lot goes on in those places, and we're always concerned, even when we go there, about where we go, and we have to watch that we make sure we are always aware of our surroundings. There are two books, you know, besides pastoring, I used to teach at a university, but you know, I was a lecturer, so I wasn't full time. I was just, but I enjoyed teaching a couple of classes once in a while. And there were two books that I used for students to get them to thinking. Now, one they did not read, but I always brought him up, and that's Fyodor Dostoevsky's famous work, The Brothers Karamazov. And while that's a good book, it's a long book. It's I've read it, of course, had to. There's a question over and over in there that keeps going on. If there is no God, then everything is right. Now, whether you're a real atheist, a practical atheist, or a person who just simply hates God, or you're ignoring God, without really an active obedience to God, and you ignore him, then everything in one sense is right. You lose the sense of right and wrong.
Yes.
Or that you begin to say, what I do, no matter what, it's right. If I feel like it, it's justified. Now, he's talking about a theoretical sense, but to push that point, it's very important that you be God-conscious in the right way.
Yeah.
Another book that I often, and this was one I would use because it was short, a wonderful little book by Thornton Wilder called Bridge Over San Luis Rey. And a fellow is passing around a high mountain pass in the Andes, and he's seeing seven people walk across, I believe it's seven, maybe eight. It's been so long since I read it. But they walk across a hand bridge, and the hand bridge breaks, and they fall, plunge thousands of feet to their death. And he goes back and searches the life of why did those people on that bridge, how did they get there, all seven of them?
Yeah.
It's really about providence.
Gotcha.
And we've also lost a sense of providence in our society, that God is really guiding our society. We need to have that sense, because they had it at the founding.
Yes.
And you can see that in the documents. Now, they may not have all been, some of them were deists, but they had a sense of providence.
They did.
And secondly, Lincoln has it at the Gettysburg Address.
Yes.
So that God is there, and he's not silent, and that he continues to operate in our world are two very important truths.
Yeah.
Today.
Amen. That's right. We've got about 2 minutes or so left. Only 2 minutes. I'll ask the question again. I often go here. Someone's listening today. Maybe they're at the point where they want to call out to the Lord. Any encouragement for that person?
Since Charlie Kirk's death. Now, I confess I didn't follow Charlie Kirk. I knew who he was. I thought he was a youth leader who was interested in politics, and I didn't really know him too well. I've learned a lot more since. But his death has touched a lot of people, not just young people. And the reason it is touched, because they realized that Charlie was a good young man who had real principles in his heart and life, and he never failed to testify to the grace of God in Jesus Christ and his love. And he did conduct himself in a very loving manner toward those at district. Now, make no mistake, he could get, I've listened to some of his videos now, and he could get strong in his opinions and so forth. He wasn't mealy-mouthed. He would take a stand. But he was never treated someone as if they didn't count.
True.
He kept in mind that they are in the image of God, even when they were not on his side. And I do believe that there is a stirring and an openness maybe in some quarters today due to this. It woke a lot of people up.
Yeah.
And the simple message that he was testifying to is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Amen.
And on and on. And if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Mm.
This is the gospel.
Yes.
And that's what gave Charlie depth. That gave him depth, even as a young man.
Yes.
A great deal of depth.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. Our guest today is our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. And if you wish to reach out to him, just send us an email here at the ministry. We're at ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. Pastor Vance, may God bless you and your family. And go get that wood chopped up.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.